Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries presents Woman of God, Daughters of a King, and Purpose Gospel Radio. We have Pastor Wanda with us in the house tonight, and I believe she's going to do her study tonight. Okay, well, let's start off with a prayer. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for the great light you send throughout the world to let us know that you forgive, that no sin is too great for you to forgive. Grant that people may cry out, have mercy on me, O God. Give them the spirit of prayer in their hearts to call Father, forgive us our sins. Send your Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth and humility, and then forgive their sins. Wherever a soul is sighing, wherever someone is calling to you, hear him. May our prayers come before your throne. Hear and answer us. We have so much in our hearts that we cannot rightly express it all. We pray for others too. Father, forgive them. Clear away all the obstacles so that your judgment can be merciful toward those whom we forgive. Be with us. May we be a church community of Jesus Christ, washed in his blood, with strength to face every bitter outburst of the world's fury and still forgive. May our prayer remain, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Alrighty. Let's bring on Pastor Wanda. Hey, Pastor Wanda.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How about yourself?
I'm blessed and highly favored, rejoicing in the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is thy strength.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome, women of God, those of the King and all listeners. Tonight's word, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Psalm 46:10. Tonight we're going to study about being still and knowing that I am God in Psalm 46:10 is a beloved passage in which the psalmist declares that no matter what happens around him, God was his refuge and his strength, safety and assurance that he is God. We can wait on him even in times of shallow and chaos. He is still on the throne. You may not be in prison, but you may be in fear or inactive or limbo or between jobs or in search of help, a house or spouse, or you and God's waiting room. If so, here's what we need to know, why you wait on God and let God work. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to John 15 and 17. My Father is always at his work, Jesus said. God never twiddled his thumb. He never stops. He takes no vacation. He rests on the seventh day of creation, but got back to work on the eighth and hasn't stopped since. Joseph's story appeared to the star out of Genesis 40. Our hero was in shackles. The train was off the track. History was in holding pattern. But while Joseph was waiting, God was working. He assembled a character. God placed the butler in Joseph's care. He stirred the sleep of the kings with an odd dream. He confused Pharaoh's counsel. And at just that right time, God called Joseph duty. He caught his work for you as well. Be still and know that I'm God in Psalm 46:10. God's waiting room wall. You can be glad because God is good. You can be still because he's active. You can still rest because he's busy. Remember God's word through Moses to Israelite. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord while bringing you to today. The Lord will fight your battle. You need not to. Wait a minute, hold on. The Lord will fight your battle, fight for you. You just need to be still in Exodus 14:13-14. The Israel saw the Red Sea ahead of them and heard the Egypt soldiers thundering after them. Death was on both sides. Stand still. Are you kidding? But what a former slave couldn't see was at the hand of God at the bottom of the water, creating a path, and he breathed from heaven and separated the water. God was working for them. He dried the land as they walked through. They didn't walk through the mud. They walked on dry land because God breathed and made it dry. God worked for Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the angels told her that she would become pregnant. The announcement stirred a torrent of question in her heart. How would she become pregnant? What would people think? What would Joseph say? Yet God was working for her. He sent a message to Joseph and her fiance. God prompted Caesar to declare a censor. God led the family to Bethel. We know that all things work together. God is working for the good of those who love him in Romans 8:28. Yet though this waiting, and you will detect the most wonderful surprising. The doctor will step out of the office and take a step next to you. Just thought, I keep the company while you are waiting. Yet even physician will do that, but yours will. After all, he is the great physician. When you're at the hospital, we still have to wait. Amen? All right. This is the second part of the Psalm 46:10. What, be still and know that I am God, what this means. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I'll be exalted in this earth. There is so much richness and beauty that you can't be found in the Psalms. It doesn't matter what you're going through, like the psalmist, that you can relate. And the psalmist is David. I think has a powerful message for us today. So we're going to look at why to be still and know that he's God. If you take just a few minutes to look through the passage, I think your faith will be encouraged. Let's jump into it and look at deep meaning in this verse. To understand the meaning of be still, that knowing I'm God, to look at the content in which it was first written. When we look at one of the verses out of the entire chapter, we will often miss the true deep and beauty of what God's word is communicating to us. Hold on. Psalm 46 is a short psalm, spanned on 11 verses. And in these three verses, the psalmist exalted God for being a refuge, a strength, and an ever present help in the time of trouble. We don't need to know the threats that the psalmist was facing. It was like pending after God, rescuing God, people from some threat. We know it was just written in Jerusalem in Psalm 46:4. So it is a reason to assume they was attacked. Much of this passage is written with war language. Now, we can look at this today. And Israel, I'm going to bring this up. The people of Israel, only thing they got to do is be still and know that's God. God is still the same God yesterday and forevermore. And in this psalm, it was about war. And we look at what's going on in the world today in the Holy Land, Israel. And those are God's special people. That's the holy ground. I hear a lot of people got their opinion, but God is still on the throne. He sees and knows what everybody is doing. Now, if we go to 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro. He never sleeps and never slumbers. If he's the same God with Moses, he's the same God today. He can do the same thing. God can cease any storm. God's hand is not too short to save. Amen?
Amen.
While in this storm is written a national level about God's protection of Israel. And God gave me this today. I went in a place today, and God gave me a shirt. I went in to the church today, and you know what the shirt said? Be still and know that I'm God. Now, as I'm speaking, my glasses just broke. I cut my hand today before I got ready, just got finished cutting hair. Cut my hand wide open. I couldn't do the last. Before I got on the radio, the fan just broke in pieces, but God's still in control. We can look at what's going on today. God is not ever blind. God is still a mighty God. He's still a sovereign God. A lot of people ask why this and why that. If you go to the throne of grace and start praying, God, this is what's going on. but God, you know, but I need your help. He said, call upon me, I'm a faithful and a just God. He didn't say, call upon me just because you see it. We should have been calling on God before. Okay? He said, the prayers of the righteous avail much. He didn't say, sometime pray. He said, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Don't start praying because something happened. You ought to have been praying every day because it's about communicating with God. He wants a oneness. Amen? So, hold on. So when I hear a lot of people, well, we got to start praying. You should have been praying long, like I've been saying, as God been had us get on the radio. Even all this stuff come on this radio, God still is on his throne. God sees and knows everything. We still going to do what God, he said, pray. He didn't say pray when you're going through things. Pray because I just fail. Pray, he said, each and every day. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and everything else we add. There's no lack of want in the kingdom of God. You can call forth everything from God. God, we need you. And then when God lets things happen, that just like it's through suffering. Suffering draws you closer to God because you depend on God. He said he's your ever help in the time of, he didn't say sometime, in the ever-present time of trouble. Okay? Each and every day we're in trouble because we're in a spiritual battle. Each and every day you ought to be putting your arm on. You ought to be praying for your neighbors, praying for your enemies. And see, where God has you, it's about your relationship. In John 15:1, he said, abide in me and I in you, and we are one. Jesus, he already know what he was going through because he had a oneness with God. And when he had to get alone, he prayed. He left everyone. And you have to know when God is calling you to pray. He can show you through dreams and vision. He can even let you know what the enemy's doing. But that's behind a relationship. And that's what David said. See, they was in war. So let's get back into the passage. The psalmists describe a time when the world was falling apart. We all had that time like that, where the foundation of our life are shaken, yet despise the calamity. In Psalm 46, proclaim that God is a fortress and we need not to fear. That was true. For the nation of Israel, thousands of years ago, now we still need that same God. Same God. He that same God, we still need to be praying. Okay? Prayer is essential. That is not about a habit. Prayer is a language knowing that what God have done for you through Jesus Christ. We thank you for breath, life, healing, delivering, restoring, bless my neighbor, bless. I have food. I have a woke up in a right state of mind. I have the word of God. I'm covered with the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony. I thank you that I can call upon the name who is worthy to be praised and exalted. See, you have to exalt God. He's not talking about exalted man. See, when you acknowledge God, more you acknowledge God, more dependent of God, trusting in God, believing in God, standing on his word, God is who he is. You can't do nothing without God. Everybody, that you can do, a lot of people think they're doing a lot of things. But when God showed me in the word of God in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by the might of man nor the power of man, but it's by my spirit. The spirit of a living God will be praying for people you don't even know about. Just like when we deal with the homeless. Today, a person said, I'm tired. This is the day when God sought me out this morning. I told everybody I'm resting. But God had me on assignment, got me up. I overslept. But he still had me on that appointment to see about one of his people. Now, this person over there and said to the church and different people, not telling their business, he said, he kept calling me a reverend. I'm not a reverend. God said, don't reverence anybody. This is the second time I didn't have to correct somebody. I'm not a reverend. Reverence, God said, I'm the only one to reverence. And when I hear a lot of people, I'm reverence so-and-so, and I walk away because God said, I'm the only one to reverence as a fear of God. He's the only one to reverence. That's the highest respect it is. So as I was out there, he had the man legs. And God had me to give the person something. It's not between what I'm going to tell it because it's not, it's for his glory. So certain things God had wanted me to give this person, he opened and told what he was going through, the ailment. And so I got to go and intercede and pray on that because he opened and said, I'm tired. But I said, if you call upon him, God hurts you, but you got to change. But certain things you must change. Okay? Just like with the children of Israel, like, today we need to be praying for the schools. praying for the leaders, praying. The body of Christ, I'll be praying for the body of Christ to get stronger. Praying in warfare, because there's a lot of things we can pray for, the school, the house, the family, marriage, all this pornography, this, that. It's a lot of things that God will place on your heart to pray. And David know where to go to. So let's look back, get back into the Word of God. That was true for the nation of Israel 1,000 years ago. It's still true for today. I don't know what about you, but that's a reminder that I need in my life. What really interesting about Psalm 46 is the major of the writing and the third person of the Psalms that speaks about God. But when we get to Psalm 46:10, there's a shift to the person as the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in this earth. You can read the whole Psalms here, and you should. Okay? The meaning of Psalm 46:10. Now that we know the context of Psalm 46:10, we can look at the richness and the depth found in the meaning of be still and know that I am God. We tend to associate this command to be still as to be quiet in God's presence. And while the quiet is certain, sometimes we are told to do in the Bible. That's not really what being still means in this verse. And the Hebrew word is used in Psalm 46:10 is raha. And it means to sink down, relax, let go, cease of striving, or withdraw. Reminds the context of this verse, it is time of conflict and war. This isn't called to be quiet. It is command to stop fighting. That's what be still means. And let God fight. Be still means to stop the frantic activity, to let go and put down your weapons of war. Why? Because God is in control. Think about Jesus calm the storm. Disciple was frightened by the waves of frantic trying to save themselves. But really all they had to do was to be still and look at the one who could calm the storm with just a few words. Being still means to cease fighting and instead trust God to be our help in the time of trouble and the time of need. Knowing that I am God, what happened when we are still? We can know God. To know means to be aware or to properly ascertain through sight. When things are in chaos and there's destruction all around us, we'll be tempted to respond accordingly, to try to calm the storm ourselves or to pick up our weapon and fight. But the meaning of Psalm 46 shows us a different path and said that we should be still and know that I'm God. Is still in control. We need not to worry. Rather, ought to look to him. You see that when we are frantic, running around, trying to do everything ourselves, we lose sight of God. We forget about his power. When we are still, we can remain ourselves that God got us in his hand. Knowing that God means that we acknowledge him and place our trust in him. The next one, I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in this earth. The Psalms here is placing God in his rightful spot. It's not about us, it's about God. When we neglect to be still, we can start building our own kingdom and making everything about us. What about me? I did this and do, I'm going to fight this. God, it ain't nothing about you, it's about God. Everything is about God. When we acknowledge God, God be glorified. When you glorify God, only one going to be bragging the most is about God. God, God, God. More God, less of you. Amen? The path leads us to the flaunted foundation. When we place God in his proper place and recognize it is his kingdom, then we will find peace even in this world of a fallen world. When we are still and acknowledge God, he will be exalted among the earth, meaning to be still and know that I'm God for us today. Now that we look at the meaning of being still and know that he's God, let's look at how we can apply this verse in our life. I have 3 points that I would like to write. The first one is stop. Okay. First one is stop. It is so easy to get caught up in our own life and what happened around us. We can quickly lose sight of God and instead try to do it out ourselves and put it in our own hands. The command of this verse is to be still, to stop our frantic activity, to recognize it. It is not us who's in control. We put far too much pressure on ourselves and fail. We fail to include God and to rely on God for all I need. You know, the Lord had, this is what he had me to do all this year. I have to throw both of my hands up and say, thank you, Lord. I'm not in control. I had to go through that. So I still do it. I'm not in control. You're in control. You're in control of this situation. You're in control of my life. Because I'm going to give you a testimony of what God did. I had a situation that happened to one of my grandchildren. One of them got shot. And she weighed like about 95 pounds. Got shot with a 4.5. God, I had to go before God. My daughter called me. Happened in Atlanta. Early this year? And I had to bow before God and told God, I had to say thank you, God. She's still living. I had to go to him and talk to God. I didn't go tell God. I hear a lot of people talking. They're gonna tell God. Nobody tell God nothing. So I bowed before him and I said, Lord, I thank you. She had lost a lot. I thank you, Father God. I had to go to the Master. Okay. And I said, Lord, you're in control. Override any decision. Don't let no deaths. Don't let this happen. She will walk. Everything I talked to God, and it was done. And many people called me. They'd be panicking. I said, Calico, don't panic. God is in control. God is in control. Start calm your breathing. I haven't talked to him all the time. Now I want you to release this and give it to God because he hears you. It's not one prayer God don't, and I hear a lot of people, well, I prayed about this. You didn't pray about it, but you talked about it, and then you brought doubt. When I prayed, they said, well, Mama, they don't know if she's going to use her arm again. So when she came to my house, I said, okay, God, I already anointed myself. Grabbed the same arm she was shot with, and I decreed and declared victory. I decreed she'll move. I prophesied like Ezekiel 37. The dry bones can, what he said, prophesied over these, can these bones live. And it was, they were dead and dry bones. But God, do you know she's using that arm like she never did? The next month, that's the mighty God we serve. When he said, be still, know that I'm God, he didn't let me run down to no hospital at all because he's in control. He know everything that's going on with each person, but sometimes you just got to open your mouth and pray in Jesus' name. All right.
Amen.
That's how mighty God I serve. I serve a big God. I don't serve a small God. I'm a small God. I serve the biggest God that sees the Alpha and Omega beginning. He knows everybody. He's the creator. In Isaiah 54:5, the maker is my husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And when I call him, he answers. Amen? All right. All right. The command of this verse is to be still. I had to be still. And I wasn't twiddling my finger. I just sat there with God, and I started singing. I sung to the Lord, what a mighty God you are. How great is God. I had to sing these songs. And God, you never failed. All right. To stop our frantic activity, to recognize it, that it's not us who's in control. We put far too much pressure on ourselves and fail instead of relying on God for our needs. I had to rely. We are carrying burdens and fighting battles we were never intended. Stop. Let go. Relax. Withdraw. Look to God instead of yourself and others. Recenter. That's the second point. Recenter. The purpose of stopping isn't just stopping sake. It is to recenter or refocusing our life on the one who is actually in control, who is our creator, our life giver, our shepherd, our healer, our deliverer, our restorer, our everything. When you know who God is, you can refocus. If you got defocused, get refocused back on God, I need your help. And it's that easy. A lot of people, y'all don't have to go, oh, Father God, I don't do that. I said, Lord, I need you. I sat there with him. I bowed before him. And I said, Lord, you're in control. I know you have this. My name is written in the palm of your hand. So I give this, I release this to you, God, because I can't do this myself. If my kids are going through something, I have to go to God. My neighbors, I go to God. This is going on, God, Father God, whatever in your will. And I thank you, God, but I trust you. That's the number one. And it's a faith deal when you talk it. Believe that you already, God heard you the first time and stand on what you did and write out your vision to God. See, this is another form in Habakkuk chapter 3. Write out your vision. Make it plain. See what God run with it. It might tear, but it'll come to pass. That's recentering. I'm going to write this down. I'm writing this out to God. God name first and everything you need God to do. If you got to reread this, God, I need you. And that's why he said in Isaiah 55:11, his word will never turn void, but comes to what he said that I do. When you read the word back to God, you're creating your atmosphere, but you're reading it back to the maker, the creator of life. Like I know God has Israel. I know God has the children. I know it. And I pray over these things. I know when we're on the radio, it don't matter what all distraction come or what a person said, God, you're in control. You're allowing this to happen. Anything that goes on in your life, dude, you know the enemy can't just come and mess with your life. He got to go get permission. The same with Job. When Job, the enemy just cannot come messing with you in your life. He got to have permission. Whoa, have you heard that? A lot of people, just like what's going on, that just couldn't happen to Israel. It had to get permission. Satan had to get permission to go touch Israel. And it's reason. But God already have victory out of that situation. That it's already done. Because if you read your word of God, he didn't told you what's going to happen. Do not touch the holy land. He didn't say it. He's going to always have backup for everything. He always got a ram in the bush. Just like he did with Abraham, I have the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. Isaac and Jacob. God always got a ram in the bush. God is not blind to what is going on in the United States, Israel, and Africa, people starving. He is not blind. Amen? That's another form of people knowing God. A lot of people talk, why you ain't doing this, why you ain't. What God, if he didn't gave you a command, be still and know that I'm God, you know you're in war, even in spiritual battles for your family, your marriage. Sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. Just sit down and be still and talk to God. Child acting up in school, go and be still and know that he's God. You ain't got to act up. Got sick, be still and know that he's God. A lot of things God is telling his people, you got to be still. You ain't got to say nothing. A lot of people going to just run their mouth and try to step in something, and he's already in control. When he says something, you can stand on God's word. God can't lie. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Don't get frantic. Don't frantic. God is who he says. He got all power. All right. There's two things you can do. First thing you can do is get into your word of God. Amen. Look at what God has done and look at his heart for his people. Second is a reminder of what he done for us, personal. We tend to focus on problems in front of us rather than the storm he already brought us through. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Whoa. If God did it before, he can do it again. He is the same God. You just got to get refocused, get back into your word, stand on the promise of God. Have faith, believe, and trust. Call his name. That's what he wants. A lot of people acknowledging God, putting them problems on, like it's on the throne. God is not getting off his throne for this problem. That's why he said, be still, know that I'm God. God is a faithful God. Okay, look back. God is a faithful God, and God always will be faithful. The third point, walk with God. Once our life is recentered, we can walk with God. We can walk in love, the peace, the joy that he has for us. We tend to think that the good life is found when we go after what we want. No, it's not. When we fight for our rights, when we demand that we deserve. But this verse teaches us that it is when we give up and look to God that we will get what we all after. Stop recentering and walk with God. Then you will find what you're after. You might also, what Jesus said about the good life and the beauties. And that is your Bible study. And we have another part. Call an altar call, Pastor. I won't be on the phone tonight in Jesus' name, all right?
Okay.
Pastor.
All
right, y'all have a blessed and a prosperous night. I love you. We got another part tomorrow in Jesus' name.
All right, we're looking forward to it. Amen.
Hello?
All right.
Hello?
Okay, Pastor, God bless you. Thank you for giving us a word tonight. Okay. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, be your Lord and Savior, you got a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is simply say a simple prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long, I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight, and we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you to the family of God. We like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said that prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. Press that one key, and I will bring you on so you can tell the world that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. All right, we're going to play a song here called Crushing Snakes by Crowder. Here we go.
Be torn away, walking on. battle has been won. We have been liberated back from the dead we've come.
Thank you.
I hope you all like that great song, singing, and all that great gospel funk mix. Amen. All righty. Let's take a call here. 101, you're on here.
Ken, this is Phil. This is the second time in 2 days that you had dead air. Why are you masturbating during these breaks?
I ain't masturbating. Goodbye. All righty. Anyway. Okay, let's get into the prophetic word for the day. Amen. The Father says today, you are losing what needs to be loosed and binding what needs to be bound. Many times, beloved men say, I bind this or I loose that, but they never check with heaven first. They are operating in presumption, and for that reason, their fleshly petitions and declarations go unanswered. So, when you are sick or a loved one is ill, ask yourself the question, is sickness bound in heaven? Let me tell you, says the Father, there is no blue shots in heaven. There are no emergency rooms or walk-in clinics. Why? Because sickness is bound in heaven. Do you know this? Or has someone convinced you that I use sickness to bring glory to myself? If you know sickness is bound in heaven, then you will have no authority to bind sickness on earth and see it leave. Make up your mind. The same is true for poverty and sin. Strife, lose, all these things are disallowed and bound in heaven. When you know this and act upon it, you will see answered prayer like never before. My plan for your life is that you experience the reality of heaven, manifest on earth in every experience of life. The assignment, says God, is to implement the mandate of my word that declares as in heaven, so on earth. My purpose is to make your life a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Your destiny is to be one that walks through waking life as one that dreams for joy and glory you are experiencing. You will declare, I dreamed, but I didn't dream this good. This is the day that I bring forth the more you could ever ask or think blessing in your life. Get your head wrapped around what I'm doing in that heavenly and what I did past tense on the cross 2,000 years ago. Be an enforcer by your prayers, declarations, and by your faith in the promise of heaven until every contradiction to my promises in your life or those around you is utterly banished from the scene. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Oh, well. All righty. Well, anyway, I'm going to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama and his kinfolk that I know they are listening because they are faithful listeners. Amen. All righty. I'm going to end this program, and we'll get back on the air tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time was another episode of Women of God, Daughters of a King, with Pastor Wanda as she concludes her lesson that she started today. Amen. God bless. Have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.